are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
You're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, guys? You are once again on the air. Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. I'm Dave. It's the show where we talk about anything you guys want to talk about. From teen relationships, to parents, to problems, to family, to future dreams, you know? Us being teens, we have certain insecurities, we have things we have to work out, you know, find who we truly are. And you guys know that this is where we get to talk about it. This is our little it's our little base where we can talk about whatever we want and express the way that we feel. This is also a show where parents and adults get to kind of get an insight on the teen psyche and see what's up with that. So my in-studio co-host today is Colin.
Good morning, everyone.
You guys know Colin. And yeah, we actually have a great show for the day. Today we're going to be interviewing a great, great author, Mark Tombeck, who wrote a book called Spiriting Around.
Amazing.
It really is a really, really good book. This book is aimed at helping teens as well as adults in their lives by finding spirituality. The book also talks about other subjects that many teens... questions like money, why we need to work, finding our priorities in life.
Yeah, all that jazz.
All that stuff. He talks about that. He also talks about love, relationships, and conflicts, and just kind of, you know, opening new doors and figuring more about the human experience. I'm actually very excited for today's show because I as well, and I know that Colin does, we have a passion for kind of, you know, we've been put on this earth. We have our bodies and then we have our spirits, you know.
And I think it's more like we have our spirits and then we have our bodies.
No, I there's no specific order. I'm just saying, like, on this physical plane, we have our bodies. This is, you know, our canvases, and then we have our spirits to experience the human experience. And
completely agreed.
And I think that, you know, not questioning what it's all about, not questioning not only purpose, but, you know, the creator of creations. You know, every night I look up at the stars and I think, you know, just question yourself, question your surroundings, and, you know, not to question that is, you know, being half dead.
agreed.
Yeah, no, completely. I actually really enjoyed reading this book, because I believe that thoughts are things. And one of the most important things is to connect with the spirit within each of us. This book encourages us to think about many important issues and issues that we will be facing as adults. Not in a negative sense, but informative and an encouraging sense. It's a really, really good book. Has a lot of key points. You know, has things that I've thought about and questioned, and that's about it. We have a call coming in right now. I believe that this is Mark. Mark?
Dave, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Mark?
Fine, thank you very much.
This is fantastic. No, I'm very excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for this interview.
You're welcome.
It's fantastic. Mark is actually, he wrote this book, Speeding Around, that we've been speaking about. It's a fantastic, fantastic book. Hits a lot of key points, like I was saying before. Yeah, honestly, I love your book. I think that...
I completely agree. I love it, too.
Yeah, I think that more people, you know, more authors, more writers, should touch on kind of the more metaphysical... Not necessarily metaphysical, but, you know, it all goes with that, like,
spiritual
metaphysical, spiritual aspect of the human experience, you know? And I'm totally, totally into that, so.
Well, my name's Mark Tomek. I'm the author of Spiriting Around, The Modern Guide to Finding Yourself. And it's very kind of you to have me on your radio show. Thank you, Dave.
Well, thanks. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for talking
and,
to
and
us.
Hello to everyone there with you and your audience. When you mentioned metaphysical, I'm glad you tried to put a spiritual aspect on it, because I think people are more comfortable with that. And when you're really talking about spirituality, you're talking about love.
Right.
And, you know, we have a very common, you know, we have romantic love. Everyone's comfortable with romantic love and, or music and everything. And it's the mating drive which makes romantic love such an important part of our lives. But spiritual love is the love you have for your purpose, whether you like, acting, or whether you like building cars. It's the love you have for your family. It's
right.
The love you have for your country. The love you have for your fellow human beings, just in conversation. So,
right.
Love is really the essence of spirituality. And the interesting thing, if people want to get a little better handle on their spirituality, is love identifies their spirituality.
Hmm.
So wherever they find love, wherever they, you know, you can put your antennas out there, and where you find love in the issue, you're going to find spirituality. That'll give you a way to access the phenomenon and really ask more personal questions in your own mind about it.
Right. No. I have to say, I've heard, you know, many different theories and many different aspects of, like, what love is and, like, the different types of love, and I completely agree with you. You know, with this human experience, you know, we have a sense of the physical world and, you know, our surroundings, and then we have emotion, you know, emotion which we create or, you know, we generate within us, and I definitely...
Well, emotion... Just to interrupt, emotion is kind of a directing force.
Right, exactly.
It kind of says, I like this and I don't like that. It's
right.
Just kind of your personal guidance, right?
Right, right. Mark, I'm going to get right into this. Why did you write your book, Spiriting Around?
Well, thank you for asking the... This is, it's wild, but I had a feeling I was going to write a book when I was in grade school. I don't know why, I just had a sense of it. And, you know, I got older and older, and I kept saying, okay, I haven't written this book yet.
Right.
And I was 40 years old, I'm starting to worry about it. How could I have such strong feelings that I was going to do something, but not have it happen?
There you go.
And then one day, I'm just looking at the window, and the thought came to me, that people are suffering waiting for the information that I gained over my life, and that would help them.
That's fantastic.
And I
That's
realized
really good
it wasn't about
yeah.
me anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't about when I felt comfortable with doing it. I felt a responsibility to the people who would benefit from it. So that was the initial impetus, the start that actually had me sit down at the desk and start writing.
Right. That's really cool. I really like that. So it was kind of like you know, through your human experience, you gained knowledge, you gained a sense of understanding for certain things, and then you realize that, like, you know, the people around you, you know, just acquaintances, not even acquaintances, but, you know, that one guy you don't even know that's, you know, on the street corner, walking to his car, doing whatever, you know, possibly...
Could gain a message from this book.
You know, that sense of understanding that you possess through reading this book. I really, really like that. Do you have any teens in your life? Like, any kids or special...
I have a 16-year-old daughter.
Oh, very nice.
Right. And she's a regular teenager, and she likes Abercrombie and Hollister and all that good stuff. And
yeah.
had a Sweet 16 not too long ago. So, it's an interesting question, yes, because the way I looked at my teen years, being on the other side is how I wrote it, and I wrote from all the trouble I had. The beginning came by, I had a miserable life as a teenager, and seeing my daughter having similar problems, but not quite the problems I had. She's got I would call normal teenage problems, which is you really like. I guess I would describe you being a teenager in life as someone hands you a guitar totally out of tune. You don't know how to tune it. You don't know anything about it, and they say, "Okay, tune it and play a song for me."
Yeah.
That's your mind, your life, your spirit. Yet you have to learn these things, and it's in maturity and asking questions and practice and all these things that you learn how to tune the guitar, which is your personality, yourself, your being, your humanity, and then you can play some song that you like, and you can investigate different types of music. You can explore the blues and jazz and things, and eventually you come out with something which you like, which kind of satisfies you, makes you happy.
Yeah, that's cool. I really like that analogy. Is your daughter learning from your book, or has she learned from your book? Like certain...
you're putting me on the spot here. I'll be honest. She's not that interested in it.
Really?
No. You can give someone something beautiful, but if they don't find it interesting or it appeals to them, it's just it's sometimes the. You know, that's the way the ball bounces, or that's the hand you dealt. So
this is so true.
I hope. What?
Oh, I was gonna say that that's so true. Basically, like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. You know.
and sometimes the what I see is the things I try to help her with have like a 2-year lag time. So something I said 2 years ago is first starting to register now.
Right.
She's a very willful person. She in a way she was like me, I can do it myself. I don't need guidance. I don't need instruction. I'm able to do this. And when I give guidance to someone, when I try to show someone something, I'm trying to, there are avoidable problems in life. And if someone tells you, gee, you can do it this way and that way and it won't cost you so much, you won't waste so much time, it won't hurt. And also, there are opportunities in life you can exploit. If someone ahead of time says, I've been through that, I know what happened, take advantage of that, call that person. So that's what I try to do, and people don't always accept it. They don't always, a lot of people do, I'll do it myself, I'm smart enough myself. And sometimes it takes people 20 years to get smart. But the beauty is they do get smart, and the sadness is sometimes 20 years is not enough for people. Sometimes people never get smart, even though you put things right in front of them all the time. They just resist for whatever reason.
I think that the whole, I can do it by myself, like I don't need guidance, this and that, I think that all ties in with kind of like the teen psyche. And I can speak for myself, and I know that Colin can, and a lot of teens out there, my friends, and even people that aren't even my friends that I've just had, just conversations with, started talking to them, waiting in line or at a party, doing whatever. I can definitely say that, the topic of, parents and, I can do it all by myself, like I don't need, guidance, this and that, it comes up a lot, because teens, living, just being thrown into this experience of, okay, high school, you have hormones, you have friends, you have relationships, you have girls, guys, this, that, you have school, then you have to get a job, you have to make money, and that all ties in with your book.
The wonderful thing about teenagers, and this was in the streets of ancient Rome, 1,000 years ago, whenever it was, as a teenager, the teenage period in your life, and I've been a teenager, and I've been the whole teenage years, you're feeling your power.
Right.
You're feeling your ability to influence the world, and you want to express that power. You want to change things. You want to taste life. You see on TV all these different things people are doing, and you also see that when you interrelate with adults, adults don't treat you like a little child. They, you know, you have disposable income that a merchant might want to trade you value for. You buy a stereo or you buy a car or something, so they want to treat you with a certain amount of respect. So
you're
now a new adult, and you're entering the adult world where you need to create resources, and you can actually give something in return. You know, I'll mow your lawn, and eventually, you know, I'll do your taxes for you, and eventually I'll be your investment broker. You know, it has a progression as you educate yourself. But the most important thing about being a teenager and exerting your power, you can change the world. You begin to not ask for things in life. You begin to create them in your life.
Yeah, exactly. That all ties in with, like, the universe and manifestation and, like, thoughts or vibrations going out to the universe, mirroring them back into your physical world.
That's
you combine the two, yes. There's a practical aspect, but there's thinking about things that does attract those things as well, yes.
You know, sometimes, Mark, it's kind of, like, scary being a teenager, like, thinking about all these things, thinking about the future. I don't know, like, what kind of help do you think, like,
What's your name? I'm sorry, we weren't introduced.
Sorry, my name is Colin.
Yeah, this is Colin. This is Colin.
I've got some bad news for you, Colin. That doesn't change.
Yeah.
That stays with you your whole life. There's scary things about life, and what you do for yourself is you create a maturity, a strength in yourself that enables you to deal with those pressures. Sometimes you have financial pressures. Sometimes you'll have relationship pressures. Sometimes someone you love will have a problem, and you'll feel desperate to help, but you won't be able to help. So it's building a strength in yourself. Life is meant to challenge us, but it's not meant to defeat you.
There you go.
So you're always going to be, you know, if things get too easy, you can count on something happening. So in a way, it's good to give yourself challenges. Because if you don't give yourself challenges that appeal to you, life is going to find things to challenge you.
Most definitely.
What?
I said most definitely, yeah. I agree with you.
The fears, the stresses, the pressures, the doubts you feel, the inhibitions you feel, this is life. This is the game.
Right.
And it's not that those change. It's that you mature into your ability to balance them. And also you see the value and the priorities. You say, gee, that's happened 20 times. It seemed dangerous, but nothing happened as a problem. I see, you know, other problems could happen. But you can, I'll take a step in that direction, you know.
Right.
So you kind of, it's trial and error in things. So the pressures, the fears, they will become less, and some will disappear. But others will take the place of, because you can never be certain. You can understand the situation, you can study it, you could examine it, you can expect all the different results of a decision.
Right.
But you can't guarantee the result.
Right, right.
So you do your best and you hope for the best.
what are some of the main principles you teach in this book to help teens with their lives? Like some of the main ideas.
There's a lot in life that is confusing. It is overwhelming, the details that assault you, and they come from so many directions.
Right, right.
The two things that, primarily are spiritual responsibility, and responsibility is the control that you have over yourself.
Right.
You know, it's not like you're responsible, but you're in charge, you're the official leader. Responsibility is the control you have over yourself. So when you accept personal responsibility for your life, you say, okay, I'm the one that's going to be making decisions. This is the one thing life demands of everybody, and that's personal leadership. And it's tough, but, you know, there's a lot of forces pressing against people that will make them think they're not the leaders.
Right.
You know, some people are natural leaders, and some people are not natural leaders by follow me, come with me.
Right.
And some people are not natural leaders in a brutish sense, like do what I say.
Right.
And you know, and follow me is respects personal dignity. Because the other side of the coin, you cannot sacrifice your personal dignity. Without your personal dignity, you'll never be happy.
Yeah.
You must maintain that. Now, sometimes you'll have a sense of dignity, and your peer group, your family, your people who you work with, they would resent it. They would probably not approve of it. But you can't sacrifice that
right.
for the sake of someone's opinion. You have to maintain your dignity, but sometimes you might have to keep it in the sanctuary of your own thoughts and your own mind until you find an opportunity to honor it. You must eventually honor your dignity. Happiness doesn't exist with it. And when you love yourself, when you dignify yourself, that's where your positive relationships will come from.
Right.
When you dignify yourself and you express it and say, this is who I am, this is what I like, and then you find someone says, that's cool, that's fine, I respect you, I'll help you where I can. That's where friendships are born, and that's where happiness and success and achievement grow from.
Mark, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Most teens are still trying to find out, like, who they really are. What are some things, maybe, like, exercises you would suggest to learn about ourselves?
All right. Here's the good news. I told you some bad news before. Here's the absolute good news. Everybody knows what makes them happy. The problem people have, and being young, this is a natural problem, you don't know how to get to it.
Yeah.
You don't know how it comes together, how it manifests in life. You know,
right. I want to step in there real quick. For teens and people listening, it kind of ties in with that. Yes, I completely agree with you. That is definitely one thing that we can always count on. We do know what makes us happy, but like you said, the obstacle there is finding how to utilize it, finding how to, you know, make it a reality in our lives. And I think that all ties in with, if you have the mindset, if you, you know, have the thought in your head of like, okay, I want to do this, but how am I going to do this? And then like you dwell on like, how am I going to do this? And you know, you don't do anything about it and you don't focus on it. You know, you're not going to manifest it. If you, you know, come in with the state of mind of like, this is what makes me happy, I'm going to do this. You know, it has already happened. You know, the universe and, you know,
you've already set a path for yourself, kind of.
Exactly. You know, everybody has their own beliefs. You know, they, you know, follow a certain religion, do this, do that. Personally, my religion is experience. My religion comes from my own personal experiences, many, many meditations, you know, that I, you know, to some people, if I were to explain it to them, they'd be like, you know, that boy's crazy. And I, you know, that's fine. I completely get that. And that's, you know, it
people
doesn't,
tell me that all the time.
Yeah, it so. Doesn't faze me. I've had my own personal experiences. I have manifested things in my life that I know for a 100% fact had everything to do with my clarity of thought and the vibration of my thoughts into the universe, which there mirrors it back into my life. And that, you know, that all ties in with being happy. If there's something that, you know, truly makes you happy and you're having trouble, you know, finding how to include that in your life, finding how to, you know, make it a part of your life, you know, and bring you happiness, it manifest it, you know.
Well, going back first to what Colin said, some simple things, because I don't want to miss that, because there were, you know, if you have a sense of that's wonderful, but a lot of people don't really have that kind of personality. So
right.
a couple of easy ways to find out who you are, and in a sense that you can trust yourself, is get a newspaper with classified, with jobs, and then just go through it and feel it. Circle the jobs that seem interesting to you. Maybe you want to work on a cruise ship. Maybe you want to be in marketing. Maybe you want to be a financial person. So that way you kind of get in touch with yourself, and you don't have to ask anybody about it and get any judgments about it. And another great way is you go into a bookstore, and they have magazine racks. They've got hundreds and hundreds of magazines. And you walk down the magazines, and you say, well, I'm interested in, flying looks good, or quilting looks good, or fashion looks good, or scrapbooking looks good, or sports. You try to, you bring yourself out. And again, you don't have to bring it to a point where you're going to be challenged by your friends or your family. You just get a sense of yourself that, you know, maybe if you told your friends that you were into quilting, you saw this great quilting magazine, it'd be an embarrassment. But the other side is maybe that's the first step before you go into fashion, or you have some factory with 500 people working for you making quilts.
Right. So it's kind of like,
But the thing is, it gives you pleasure. And you kind of honor your feelings. And this is just, you're trying to present yourself with ideas. Other people found these activities interesting enough to write books about them, to write magazine articles about them. So whatever you're attracted to, someone else is already interested in it. And you find a lot of things that there's dozens of magazines about. So it's a good way just to kind of stimulate your heart and stimulate your feelings, and just respect yourself that your feelings are valid, and maybe this would be something that worth exploring. Maybe try to participate in something. You know, the first step is you read magazines, but you don't want to just get lost in TV shows and magazines. The thing you want to do is look for opportunities to participate, and you might not like it. You can always, you know, change your mind.
Yeah.
And for a person who's clear and driven in a way of having an open mind about things like yourself, Dave, it's great to have that opportunity. Again, the key is, like with your radio show, you participate. You do it. You get some bumps and lumps, and then 6 months later, a year later, you're better. Like learning a language, you know? If you take time, all of a sudden, 10 years later, you speak a foreign language. So I think the key is participating. The key is also consideration. You know, not just turning your mind off and, oh, gee, that's fun. Think about something, you know. When you have the thought, then go buy a magazine about it. Or buy Talkers Magazine or join a trade association or something. Yeah. See if it's really something you like.
No, definitely. You know, open.
So you move it down the line and you get more experience. The fun thing about exploring things like new things that you think might be interesting to you is you find once you enter that community of people who do that, there's a ton of support. People like to be, and you get support from people who one day they were in the same shoes you were, with doubts and concerns, and how can I be good at it someday if I don't know anything about it now? A very typical, normal situation for a young person. It's uncomfortable, it's confusing, but it's just what it means to be a teenager. You're new at something. It's like the first day on a job.
By the way, if you guys just tuned in, you're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. My special on our guest today is author Mark Tombeck, who wrote Spiriting Around, a great book for teens. Right now we're talking about the book, talking about, we're doing a little Q&A, calling in myself with Mark, and we're talking about how to basically, in a general sense, help teens, and like kind of tying in the spiritual aspect of life, you know, with teens, and... excuse me. I believe Colin.
Mark,
I have
a question for you.
Sure.
How can we be more open to like messages from spirits or like things like that?
Well, that's a great question, because you know, here you're trying to find a way to connect with your spirituality not so much in an esoteric, in a psychic way, but in a very practical way. So the things that happen will attract your attention.
Right.
Unusual events, unique things that happen. And it doesn't have to be exotic. It can be very, very plain things that happen in an unusual way. It can also be, and very often is, a pattern of things. If you keep running, let's say you have an acquaintance, you don't know them very well, but you keep running into them. Well, maybe you should start a conversation. Maybe this is a connection. Maybe you'll have some common ground you can build a friendship on. So it's in the unusual things, and it's even as basic as a cold or a headache or something. What an event like that, what an illness does, it pulls you out of a routine. Some people try to, I'll fight through it. I've got things to do. My life's important. I don't care if I've got a cold. But life is sending you a message, and it's sending you a physical message that's also a psychic message, because it's spirit saying, take a breather. You know, you're not going to lose anything. You're not going to mess up anything or miss anything. Take a breath. Take care of your body, and then you'll start again, refreshed and energized. I had a little problem with my foot, and the thing with my foot was, it was painful, so it kept distracting me, and I kept thinking, you know, I always think, you know, this is how, what I'm telling you is the way I think for my own life, and it kept distracting me. I couldn't focus, so I realized that all the mechanics of, you know, you get up, you have your morning routine, you go to work, you know what you're going to do, you know, there'll be different things to do, but you do that, and you come home, you do your errands and stuff. Life becomes mechanical and routine, and you know, we rely on it. We trust that routine as safety. It makes money for us. We can see our friends at a certain hour. We have love in our lives. But when something throws you out of a routine, maybe it's and this is how I look at myself. It's not a right to be afraid of it, that I'm going to miss some opportunity. It's right to let it go. You know, wait for something extreme. If something, you know, not let it go completely, but set priorities that are only the most important. Maybe the priorities as responsibilities to other people.
Right.
That's what I might do when I'm involved in someone else. If someone else needs something, where I had a business relationship or something, I do everything I can to take care of that person. Right. And I think, you know, God and the universe understands that. But where I don't have to do that, and sometimes you're not going to be good at doing it, but the important thing is a sincere intention. So what I do, I just try to let things go. I stop counting calories and things like that, things that don't concern you now, but in 30 years you will. But the mechanics which I live my life by, I see if life is trying to distract me, if life is trying to break me out of my routines, I'm going to respect the spiritual aspect of it, and I'm going to let myself, I'm going to help it. And that's what I try to do. There's a lesson within the nature of events. It's not only that there'll be a repetition of pattern, or there'll be some, maybe an automobile accident's trying to tell you slow down, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to rush everywhere. But there's if you go deeper into the specifics of the event, you can get more depth to it, more understanding, because the nature of the lesson is within the event.
Right.
So
basically,
what?
Oh, I was gonna say, like, so basically it's you know, like when little changes, little alterations in, you know, the human experience occur, it's, you know, don't take them as just like, you know, oh, I'm sick, or oh, this happened, you know, I'll get through it, or this and that. You know, look past, you know, you know, the exact moment and, like, the exact kind of idea that, okay, physically this is happening. Look past that and realize that maybe, you know, because there's an alteration, there's a change, there's something trying, you know, something from a higher, higher
you're on the right track. Like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, pointing, or not necessarily pointing, but kind of, you know, giving you little messages like, all right, listen, this happened in your life because, you know, and then, you know, you find your own reason for that, you know, and you kind of take what you've learned from the experience and, like, let it, you know, let it kind of become a little bit, you know, of guidance, you know, at that point in time in your life, you know, and listen to messages. Another thing I wanted to touch on.
Don't waste the problem. They're expensive.
Right. Yeah, there you go. What are some helpful suggestions and exercises you suggest teens, and here we go into the dirty, or not dirty, but the juicy stuff, to help them with self-love and, you know, other loving relationships, you know, like boyfriend, girlfriend, this and that, oh, I love you, puppy love, what is puppy love, you know, just stuff like that.
This is all important. These are all, and, you know, they're functions of where life crosses over into spirituality and One of the best things, there's a passage in the Bible if you want to understand love, and when people ask me this, I say this is a good place to start your questions about love, and it's in it's 1 Corinthians 13, and it's love is long suffering, love is kind, And it's a very, very famous passage from the Bible. And what's also interesting is if you go to different Bibles, there'll be slightly different interpretations of it. So,
right.
Circle of a way to understand love and caring and what's important and how people matter and how we're connected, really. How, you know, no matter how many people, you can go into the jungles of New Guinea, or you can go to a high-rise in Manhattan, and the people in both those locations, they're going to love their kids. They're going to have a feeling for each other. They're going to love their friends. They're going to love their relatives. They're going to love their village or their company. People are going to have a feeling for each other. This connection, love connects everybody.
Right.
And you know, it's mostly cultural problems that create the difficulties. It's not so much and human fears a lot. You know, I won't have enough of this or enough of that, so I'll go take yours.
So I also think a lot of that ties in with ego as well.
The ego, the doubts, the lack of trust, and you have personalities. You have a lot of things going on at once. With you got 5 billion people trying to get along here.
Right,
and not everyone's nice, but if you look at the history of the planet, it really has gotten better over the last 5,000 years. Are there tragedies?
That.
Are there unspeakable horrors? Absolutely, but there was more of it,
right.
And there was and people weren't talking about trying to. People weren't connected as much. We didn't have satellite phones and satellite communications, and you know, whether you like the United Nations or not, it was an intention to have a forum where people could discuss world problems. And now we have world trade agreements and world security agreements, and we're all trying to get along on this place.
Oh no, I was going to say, go on, and then I'll touch on what I was going to say.
So this is all love. You know, the question was about love, and like all religions, are not so much about differences. They're about the love that parallels every religion. Is their real purpose? What they're trying to do is define what love is, and define the meaning of right behavior in relation to each other. And you know, you want to be responsible to yourself in the way that you love other people. You know,
right.
You don't want to be you know, just give. You want to have self-respect. And this is, again, this is fine-tuning that guitar. When do you give and when do you receive? And when do you demand and when do you compromise? So this is what life's about. You know, this is the grand cycle. You grow up, you know, you're a toddler, grade school, you have a family, you get old, and then someone else takes your place. So,
right.
You know, it's a cycle that keeps going on, and you take a look at this. You know what's really important in life? It's not so much how well you manage. Success is not how well you really manage your money. Success is how well you manage your love.
Right.
And it's the value and the measure of life here on this planet is the love you create.
Yeah.
It's the love you give, and it's the love you receive. You're really making love when you receive love rightly and respectfully, and when you give love respectfully.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, earlier how you were talking about kind of like how there's like international websites where, you know, people talk about, you know, issues in the world, and then, you know, something as big as that to something as small as a cell phone, you know, which it's kind of phasing in, you know, society's terms. I was having a conversation with a friend. It's funny you said that. I believe it was 2 days ago, and we were talking about how human beings, when they were first put on this earth, whether it be Adam and Eve or Neanderthals, like whatever you want to, you know.
Like, okay, yeah, sure.
Or, you know, Neanderthals and what are the other, Cro-Magnons. They, you know, when they were put onto this earth, they never had like a set, you know, language. All they had, the humans were literally animals. You know,
we still are.
No, we still are. We've just evolved. We've evolved in such, you know, in such a drastic way. But, you know, when we were put onto this earth, I believe that, like, first as human.
But we give ourselves a special name.
Right.
We call ourselves human beings.
Well, I think that we had, you know, like the Neanderthals and Cro-Magnons, all they had was instinct. And along with instinct, you know, they had the instinct to love, which kept their, you know, kept their connection. And not only their connection, but basically the entire flow of their society, of how they lived, revolved around instinct, revolved around their love between one another, you know, keeping each other warm, you know, getting food for each other, communicating with each other, you know, keeping...
I think animals, you know, all animals, bees, cats, you know, plants, I think there's a connection of love between everything.
Right.
You know,
and
you have to...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, and like, you know, just like that, humans are right there on the same page with that. It's just humans have evolved so far away from that. You know, we've evolved into this materialistic, you know, not everybody materialistic, but for a most part, like a pretty materialistic world where, you know, we have to constantly be entertained. We have to, you know,
it's the creative nature.
We have to have everything given to us, kind of like,
yeah,
no one ever like, grows, not no one, but most people don't grow their own food. They don't know where their food comes from. They don't know where...
That's a gift.
Yeah.
You're given time. If you're in a situation where you feel you've everything given to you, you don't have to fight, you don't have to, you know, start working when you're 12 years old or something, you have something very special. Now, this time is now... This is a gift that's not an easy gift. This is a gift that's also a responsibility. So anyone in that kind of position, I think, has a responsibility. What are they going to do with the time they have created through this gift of freedom, of not having to worry about survival?
Right.
The Marquis de Lafayette, he said something. He said, he was a friend of America during the American Revolution. He said, a person is a soldier so that their children can be farmers, so that their children can be poets.
Yeah.
So in a way, you're saying, you're talking like a poet.
Yeah.
So it's also a responsibility of a poet to examine this life, to examine our purpose, to examine spirituality, which is exactly what you're doing right now.
Right.
So, but the work does not stop because the opportunity has been created. It's not just endless leisure. It's an opportunity to explore your creativity without the burden of survival.
That's very
and
cool.
It's almost like, you know, you're given the baton. You're the last runner in the relay race.
Right.
And you just go. You go. There's nothing to stop you now. So this is an interesting part of human evolution. We're coming to a point where more people have this creative ability,
right,
of being unencumbered,
right,
to be able to move their spirituality out there, their creativity, to their exploration, without having to worry about.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
No, yeah. If you guys just tuned in, you're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. My special honor guest is the author Mark Tombeck, who wrote Spiriting Around. Great book for teens. We're, as you guys know, if you guys have been listening, or if you guys just tuned in, we're touching on, he's answering questions for us, and he's explaining to us many different aspects of the teen, kind of like tying in the teen spiritual aspect of life with the teen experience. That's pretty much what's going on right here. So,
and the place I learned all this stuff, where this all came from was because my life was so troubled when I was a kid. I spent so much time thinking about this stuff. You know, when you do anything, I think I mentioned it before, when you do anything for a long time, you know, the little things, you learn a lot about it. Secrets are revealed. And the spirituality grew out of my desire to heal my mental self, all the confusion I had when I was a kid.
Oh, most definitely. No, I definitely think that because, and actually, it's more of a question. Would you agree with me that because of your, you know, your kind of insecurities as a child, you know, it formed and you planted different seeds which blossomed into different ways of thinking and opened many doors which led you to the person who you are today?
It wasn't as rosy as that. It wasn't, my early time in life was a battle. I was seeing psychologists when I was 14 years old. I wound up in a mental hospital when I was 20. There was a lot of problems, and I had a lot of problems at home. And I think some of your listeners will appreciate this. I had problems with an older sibling who was very jealous of me. You know, when I was about 8 years old, I started expressing myself, and this person was very self-important and extremely self-important. And I don't mean to diminish anybody else's problems. You know, everyone's got their own tale of woe, but this was such a heavy burden on me, and I wrapped up, every time I would express myself, I was intimidated or humiliated or told that I was no good. So finally, you know, to stop being attacked all the time, I held it all inside me. Right. And I had this conflict with this beautiful person I was trying to express myself with trying to protect myself.
Right.
So I formed a lot of terrible habits, and it wasn't so much that those seeds weren't planted in my teen years, but I had to heal myself. It took me. I was in my 40s when I started really to express the person I was freely.
Right.
and appreciate myself. But
right.
You know that's the game. You know, if you can
yeah.
do it early, God bless you. Enjoy it. If it takes you time, there's no choice.
Most
you know,
definitely.
You want to be happy, you have to work at it.
Mark, we're running out of time, but I had one more question for you because this
sure.
is definitely something I wanted to touch on. One of my favorite parts in your book is about positive attitudes. Can you explain more about the fact that thoughts are things?
Thoughts are things, and you know, people will, I think, will understand it immediately when they have these kind of like ways of to examine your thought waves, and you see on a screen, you know, the little electronic impulses floating around. Electronic impulses are things, and thoughts are things. So you can really, in a sense, everything about your life has a physical nature, and you can. Take your consciousness, you can take your will, you know, beyond your mind. I guess it's the funny thing, because one part of your mind can look at another part of your mind and make changes. So the important thing about thoughts of things is that you can have an effect on them.
Right.
You can say, I'm thinking this way, it's negative thinking, I don't want to think this way, I can change that habit.
Yeah.
And you really can. If you have a negative thought, you can take that physical thought and you can, through affirmation, you know, a lot of it is just changing, forming new habits to replace the old habit. And the habit is a thing, and it starts with a thought. And, you know, a lot of it is, unless I don't do this, I can't have this, or they won't like me, or it won't work, I'll never do it.
You
can start saying, I can do it, I am worthwhile, and you feel the nervousness come up in you. But the important thing about this, making the decision to change your life and change a negative thought into a positive thought, once you make that decision, it might take you 10 years to change the thought, but you'll be 51% there once you make the decision. You stepped over the line. You stepped over the line from being a negative person into being a positive person, and to incorporate it as a positive habit, as part of your nature, it
right.
takes time. I wish I could tell people that it would happen right away. It doesn't. So it takes a ton of patience.
Right, right.
But things do change, and you get happy. You become happy.
Well, very nice. Mark, how can people get in touch with you to get the book, or how can they purchase this book?
Thank you very much, Dave. They can go to my website, www.spiritingaround.com.
Just like the book title?
Pardon me?
Just like the book title, Spiriting Around.
Spiritingaround.com. Amazon. You can go into your bookstore. It probably won't be on the shelf, but you can ask your Barnes & Noble or Borders or whoever's in your neighborhood, ask them to check it on the database, and they can order it there, and they'll probably have it for you in 3 or 4 days. So
well,
it's easy to order it. I think it's worthwhile. There's a ton of information in it. You know, there'll be some things you might know, but I try to address a lot of the considerations. I just want I worked real hard to learn this stuff, and I didn't want it to go to waste. I wanted other people to benefit from it, and the tough time I had as a teenager might be easy for someone who has an opportunity to read the book.
Right. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm more than sure that you helped many, many people listening, and you know, you You have many interesting ideas and, you know, many, many true beliefs. And I really, really like it. I'd love to have you on the show another time, you know.
Sure.
We can call you up. We'll have a conversation. Thank you so much for being on the show, spiriting around. And
you're welcome. It's been fun.
I'll talk to you in the future.
Talk to you soon. Right. Be well. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. All right, guys. This has been Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Colin.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. You know, Colin's my co-host, and thank you very much, Mark. Thanks for talking, guys. You can email me if you want to contact me at any time. My email is dcsboarding, that's B-O-A-R-D-I-N-G, 514@AOL.com. Thanks so much for listening, and you have a fantastic Sunday. Oh, well, of course. I'm Dave.
I'm
your host. Have a great day.
I wouldn't know what to say, just the same.